Our reading this morning is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 13, going on to chapter 3, ending in verse 13. And if you're using the church Bible, the page number is 1188. 1188. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you, believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and oppose all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But God's wrath has come upon them at last. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavoured the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labour would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you, for this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. This is the word of the Lord.
As we come to God's word, let's just bow our heads and pray. Father God, thank you so much that we have your word in our language today. We thank you that we can read it freely. And as we spend time looking into your word today, we pray that you would help us, that you would change us so that we become more like Jesus. Amen. Anybody seen a gold bar? Well, neither have I. We're having an all-age service without a gold bar. But this morning, we're thinking about keeping going. So, last October, I went with two friends from this church to a group of believers in Central Asia. It was an unregistered church in a village, not in a church building, but meeting in a home. A bit like maybe our house groups, our home groups. We were taken in a car, and when we got to the right place, we were bundled out of the car and into the house. We had to wear dark clothing. I couldn't wear my usual bright yellow. But this church met in a village house, and it was very basic. The toilet was down the garden next to the cow, literally. And it was simply a hole in the floor, and there was no door. But the welcome here was extremely warm. We were treated as honoured guests. Everyone wanted to say, come in, welcome, welcome, it's lovely to see you. And as you can see from the picture, there are about 10, 12 people meeting in the house. We sit round a table. Now, their tables are always on the floor. Try that for your Sunday lunch today. And most of the people in this group were women, because the men either didn't love Jesus or they had to go away to work. And they, in this little church, this little group of people, can you imagine this? They had nobody to teach them the Bible. They didn't understand much of the Bible. They were what we call first generation believers. In other words, they were the first people in their family and all their families to know and love Jesus. But they knew enough to love Jesus and follow him. And we spent a whole day with them teaching the Bible. Now, just imagine this. At the end of a normal Sunday morning service, when Tom comes to the end of preaching, someone puts the hand up and says, Tom, we want another sermon, because we want to hear more about Jesus. And then someone else at the end of that puts the hand up and says, can we have a cup of tea? But then we want to hear more about Jesus. But you know, when we left this little group of people, we were really concerned, because they were like sheep and vulnerable to the wolves that could come in. Now, by that I mean that anybody could have come and told them things that weren't true, told them things that aren't in God's word. And because they didn't know much about God's word, we felt that they were in real danger of being led astray. Now, I returned there a few months ago, and it was amazing. They were all still there. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? And they were still loving Jesus. They were still asking me to speak from God's word. And, do you know, it felt just like New Testament times. Because in this reading, when it comes to Paul and the church at Thessalonica, Paul is really worried that this church might have strayed and run away, that they might have stopped loving Jesus. Just listen to 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 5 to 8. For this reason, when we could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love, and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you, for this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Paul is just so thrilled that this little church in Thessalonica is still loving and following Jesus. So, we've got the talk in two parts this morning. But the first point is this. God's word is essential. Look at chapter 2, verse 13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you, believers. The little church in Thessaloniki has received the truth of God. They've listened to Paul, and they knew it was a message from God, not from man. And they accepted the good news of God's word. Now, this morning, the Bible is very, very special. And in some countries, you are not allowed to have a Bible. We'll be thinking about some of those countries in the second half of the talk. But right now, I need two volunteers. Can I find two volunteers? Brilliant. If you'd like to volunteer, put your hand up. Okay, I've got one there at the back, and I've got one here. Can we have one of you two? Do you want to come together if it's going to cause a problem? Come together, that's fine. Okay, you stand here. Now, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
Shreddies and honey.
Shreddies and honey, that is a good start. Maybe you might find you needed Weetabix as well. Come to the front, come and join me. Now, can I be really, really clear, kids? You do not try this at home. Otherwise, your mums and dads or whoever looks after you will be coming for me. So, I have here two very special little Bibles. It's part of the Bible, and it's designed so that people can hide it because it's really small. But it's very special. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to take one little page like that, and I want you to try and tear the page like that, okay? Don't worry. If it rips, it's okay. No, don't rip it out. Rip it like that, okay? Can you do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Rip it in half.
I can't do it.
You can't do it? What did you have for breakfast?
Frosties.
Too much sugar. Okay. Right, okay. Now, okay. So now, what I'd like you to do is something you do not try at home with any of your books, is come around here. And just want to start with, you hold fire, my friend, you hold fire. Now, you know what I'm going to ask you to do? Put it in there. Okay, give it a good stir around. Just come this way so everybody can see. You've got a good stir around. Is that good? Okay, now you just leave that to soak for a minute. Now, what do you think we might do with this one? No, your Bible. I tell you what we're doing. Hang on. Nice bit of mud. Do you like mud? Get a good stir. Don't want to get it all over my fingers. Right. See, I didn't even have to ask him, did I? He knew exactly what to do. Go on, you splash mud all over the church. That's brilliant. Okay, brilliant. Okay. Right. Now, you take your Bible out there. Open a page. What can you tell me about it? Is it still okay? Isn't that amazing? Brilliant. Now, what do you think we're going to do with this one?
Open page.
I tell you what, put it in there and wash it. Can you do that? Give it a good wash. Open the pages, give it a good wash. Excellent. Fantastic. Brilliant. Now take it out.
Yeah.
And what can you tell me about the pages? Are they still good?
Yeah, it's not fallen out.
It's not fallen out. They're amazing, aren't they? Okay, have a paper towel, wipe your hands, and thank you very much. Give them a clap as they go back. And what people used to do with those Bibles is they were able to hide them anywhere at all, so they could bury them in their garden. Isn't that amazing? And then when they wanted to read the Bible, they could dig it up, and they could wash it, and then they could read it. And when they'd read it, they can put it back in the ground again. Or they could put it in the toilet system. That's the top bit, not the bottom bit, okay? And you could hide it almost anywhere. But do you know, the Bible, those people really wanted to have God's word, because God's word is so important and precious. I have here another Bible. This is a very special Bible. It was printed in 2016, and it was the first proper Bible that people from a large country in Central Asia had in their own language. People spent years translating it so that the people who lived in that country could read God's word in their own language. And you know, we are so blessed in the UK because you can have a Bible at home. There's lots of countries where you can't do that. And you can read it. And you can just go and buy one from a shop. But sometimes people don't have a Bible to read. Now, what is the most important thing to do when you have a Bible? Can anybody answer that for me? Shout out. Read it. Brilliant. Did you all hear that? When you've got God's word, we need to read it. Fantastic. Because God's word tells us how we can know God. It tells us how we can find out about Jesus dying on the cross and rising again so that he can bring us new life. And it tells us how we can put our trust in Jesus and come into a relationship with God. So God's word is so important. But you know, if you just leave it closed on a shelf, it doesn't do anything. You've got to read it. And then, you know, something else you need to do when you've read it. You need to do what it says. It's very dangerous to ignore God's instructions. A few months ago, I didn't read the instructions for something, and I thought I knew best. Quickly, move on to the next one. I don't want anybody fainting, okay? I'm just after a bit of sympathy. And thankfully, my criminal record has now been removed. But do you know the point of that? It's that we need to read the instructions. God has given us everything in his word, the Bible, so that we know how to love him, how to follow him, and how to please him in our lives. But that means we need to read it. And when we read our Bibles, we find out what God is like. We've been singing about his being pure and perfect and trustworthy. We find out that we have sinned, that we've messed up, that we've not lived our life according to God's commands. And then we find out how Jesus can rescue us. How we can ask him to forgive us for our sins. And give us a clean inside, a clean heart. And then how to follow Jesus and live well for him. That is why God's word is essential. It's the most important book you can ever read. Now this morning, I don't mind whether you're 5 or whether you're 95. It's an all-age service, and that applies to absolutely everybody this morning. We've got God's word. It's everything God wants to say to us in it. So we need to read it. And we need to obey it and follow it. So, I want to encourage you to read God's word regularly. Read it as a family. Read it on your own. Read it with somebody. But it's so important to read it every day. Now, if you don't remember anything else from this morning's sermon, will you remember that God's word is precious? And what do we need to do with our Bibles?
Read it.
Brilliant. Now we're going to sing a song that's all about God's word. So when you hear the music group, if you're able to, stand up, ready to sing. Please be seated, ready for part two. So we thought about God's word being essential. And the second thing we're going to think about this morning is love for the church. Now you can't help but miss, as we read this passage, that Paul loves this church in Thessalonica. And we read words like that Paul wanted to come to see them again and again the end of chapter 2, that he boasted about them. And that he says, for now we live if we know you're standing fast in the Lord. And running throughout all this chapter is the fact that Paul loves the church. He's heard they're doing well and he rejoices. We think of, I think of the little church I know in Central Asia that I was talking about earlier. And I understand just a little bit of Paul's joy and his relief to know that they're still going on loving and trusting Jesus. But back in the UK, we need to have a love for the church. Now, let's just be really clear. I don't mean have a love for this. It might be a lovely building, and it's a great place for us to meet. But when we talk about the church, we mean us. Everybody who knows and loves Jesus. And so we need to have a love for each other. We need to delight in encouraging each other to keep following Jesus. We need to spur one another on, to help each other follow Jesus more closely, to help each other read God's word sometimes, maybe to help each other pray when we're finding it really difficult to pray. We are here and we're incredibly privileged because God has given us each other so that you can encourage me and I can encourage you. Now, a few years ago, I went on a cycling trip with Oak Hall Holidays. I was cycling in Italy, and I was speaking on the trip, and towards the end of the cycling trip, I was asked with about five others, do you want to have a go, and I've got to read this word, climbing the Monte Campione Pass. Now, if anybody knows anything about cycling, the Giro d'Italia climbs this pass quite regularly. So I said, yes, of course, you know me, don't you? Given an offer, absolutely yes. So five of us set off. Three were really, really good riders. And then there was me and somebody else. But I thought, well, do you know, I'm the oldest here. I'll set off really slowly and keep on going. And yet, I went round and then I met one of the young ladies on our trip at one of these bends. And she was looking at the scenery and she was going, and I passed her and kept on going. And then a few minutes later, she bombed past me again. And guess what happened? At the next corner, she was waiting. And eventually she said, Al, she said, can I cycle with you? And I said, yeah, sure. Well, I probably said that with a bit of kind of lack of breath. So we cycled all the way for over an hour to the top together. We'd already done about half an hour at that point. And now and again, when we just had space for a breath, going round a corner, we'd say, wow, look at that view. We're nearly at the top. We're halfway there. Keep on going. And we got to the top cycling together. Do you get the picture? Yeah? We're here for each other. So when I'm struggling in my life to follow Jesus as closely as I should do, someone can come alongside me and say, Al, can I read the Bible with you? Can I pray for you? Can I just talk to you and refresh you? And then when somebody else is struggling, I can look out for them. Isn't it amazing that God's given us each other this morning? And so we are to love each other. Now, how do we do it? Well, let me give you some practical challenges. So, this is for anybody again, 5 to 95. If you're 96, I don't know about that. When did you last encourage someone to follow Jesus really closely? Okay? Second question, when did you last sit down with someone and say, can I read the Bible with you? Or thirdly, when did you last sit next to someone and they tell you about, do you know, I've had a really bad week. Or I'm really worried about something. And you say, can I just pray for you? Two sentences would be brilliant. Wouldn't that be amazing if we could do that for each other? Whether you're really young or really old. Do you know, Jesus said that would be our biggest statement to the world outside, that we love each other, that we care for each other. Let's move on really quickly to the last point, persecution. Because persecution, that means suffering, finding life really difficult following Jesus because people are against us. Now, we live in unusual times in the UK. But in Paul's time, it was quite common for people to suffer. Just listen to what he says in verse 4. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as come to pass and just as you know. So at the moment in the UK, we don't have any persecution. We might have a few niggles, but you know, we don't have persecution. Persecution is the norm for the church right across the world. Jesus said to his disciples, if the world hates me, it will hate you also. Because people who live in darkness don't like light. And they will do everything that they can to get rid of the light and put that light out. So we are part of a worldwide church. Just grab a little look at this map. So on this map, all the countries coloured either red, orange, or yellow, amber, suffer persecution. Can you just grab that for a moment? How much of the world? So across here, my pointer's not working now, never mind. But across there at the far side, you've got North Korea, where the persecution is absolutely awful. Don't let anybody ever tell you that the church is dead in North Korea. There are at least 100,000 people in those terrible gulags. And then as you come across from east to west, there you go, brilliant. You've got right across to India, northern India. You've got some of Central Asia. And then you come down to the Middle East. And then across North Africa. And then lots of other parts of Africa. Isn't it amazing how many countries in Africa suffer persecution for Jesus? And then you come across to the Central Americas. Brilliant. I did that without even pointing. Amazing what you can do with AI and thought technology, isn't it? But that's really serious, isn't it? Can I tell you a story? I'm allowed to do that this morning. Let me tell you a story about a man I met. And this man said, I was happily married. I was from a Muslim family, so that's a family of people who don't love Jesus. And he said, I came to follow Jesus. I came to put my trust in Jesus. So this man started to go to one of his little churches that you saw a picture of earlier. And his wife was really, really unhappy and said, you're a Muslim. Why are you going to a Christian gathering? And he said, well, because I love Jesus. Jesus has changed my life. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be with his people. And she said, it's a really, really bad thing. And do you know what she did one day? As soon as he went off to a meeting, she picked up a phone. And she phoned the KGB and she said, my husband, he used to be a Muslim, but now he's following Jesus and he's gone to this meeting. So they went to the meeting. They went in, they arrested him. They took him down to the police station. They put him in front of a judge and the judge said, if you will say that you will not follow Jesus any longer, I'll let you go. He said, I can't do that because I love Jesus. So he went to prison. When he came out of prison, he found his wife had divorced him and all that side of the family had gone. And because it's a country where you can bring shame on your family, his own family said, we don't want anything to do with you ever again. And I met him and he said, but I keep going loving Jesus. Isn't that amazing? We must remember that we are part of a suffering church. Hebrews 12 says, remember those in prison as if we ourselves were being ill-treated. And you know, one day it might be us. What's going on here? What's going on here?
This is an illegal meeting.
Coming to the police station for questioning.
What, now?
What's your name?
My name's Al.
Oh, that's disappointing. I was hoping it'd be Tom Nash, who usually leads these illegal meetings.
Well,
Take him away. Go on, you're coming with us.
Folks, remember this. Keep on following Jesus. Keep on loving him.
Going down to the station.
Hold on to his word. Keep following. Keep on going.